Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is episode number 34, and this is your host, Jason Hartman. I'm talking to you from Washington, D.C. today, and I'm actually celebrating my birthday in a place that was very, very involved in the birth of what I consider to be one of the highest achievements of mankind, and that is the Constitution of the United States of America. It is really incredible. I visited the National Archives the other day and just got goosebumps looking at that and thinking of the risk that those people took to found the country that has given more hope and happiness and prosperity and innovation to the world than any other country in human history. When you compare the Constitution to the light bulb, the wheel, compare it to any invention you want, it's up there as one of the highest achievements. Because without the Constitution of the United States guaranteeing liberty for people, many inventions, many great innovations obviously would not have been possible. And that's why it's so important to us when we talk about holistic survival. Because this show is about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. Well, we are going to go to an interview now with Stan Deo, and I think you'll enjoy this interview. A little bit of a different take, a little more of an end times scholar, and I think you'll find this interview interesting. But before we do that, I want to make sure you join us for the Masters Weekend and the Creating Wealth Boot Camp. We're talking about the profit pillar there, and you can register for those at jasonhartman.com. Do not miss them. Again, we don't have events so often anymore. We just put on larger events and less often and do podcasts and so forth. And my real estate company, Platinum Properties Investor Network Incorporated, can offer you some fantastic financial roadmaps and investments and so forth for these times. So make sure you take advantage of that. Go to jasonhartman.com and join us in mid-October in Irvine, California for the Masters Weekend, a gathering of experts, and the Creating Wealth Bootcamp all in 3 consecutive days. Let's go to the interview here with Stan. We'll be back with that in just less than 60 seconds.
Now's your opportunity to get the Financial Freedom Report. The Financial Freedom Report provides financial self-defense in uncertain times, and it's your source for innovative, forward-thinking investment property strategies and advice. Get your newsletter subscription today. You get a digital download and even more. Go to jasonhartman.com to get yours today.
It's my pleasure to welcome Stan Deo to the show. He is the author of The Cosmic Conspiracy that was written several years ago, and we are going to talk about end times, we're going to talk about economic collapse possibilities, and some fairly grim stuff today for sure, right Stan? Welcome.
Oh, very grim stuff, but we need to talk about it because if we don't, a lot of people are going to suffer for it.
Yeah, and the more awareness you create about these kinds of issues, the more prepared people can be, and that's really the solution. You know, I remember back around 1999 when everybody was talking about the end of the world because of Y2K, and then afterwards, everybody kind of said, well, hey, that was no big deal. Nothing really happened. Well, maybe the reason nothing happened is because people talked about it, and they became prepared and aware of the issue and addressed it in advance, and that's what we want to do here today, so it's good to have you on the show. What is going on in the world that you believe will lead to a coming collapse of the economy?
Oh, gosh, so many things. First of all, the weather conditions or the climate changes we're experiencing. A lot of people try to blame it on HARP or electronics and things like that. And although these things, these weather warfare machines may play a part in that, I think the major problem with our global climate change is the sun itself. It is now becoming more mainstream topics in the scientific community that, yes, our sun is a variable energy output star. It is at an unstable point at the moment. For the next 6 to 8 years, it should be doing some very exotic coronal mass ejections, which are big flares of protons and other solar material that's being blown off like a smoke ring, but of this very hot material. And I think we're going to get hit by them, at least by one that will be strong enough to trigger fires in the grass and trees in various places. But this weather, regardless of the cause, this weather change, the climate change we're experiencing, is creating tremendous disparity in heat in the planet between hot and cold areas, which makes tremendous weather machines for horrific storms. And Holly, my wife, who does our websites, pointed out over the last few weeks on the website that there's been an inordinate number of plane crashes across the planet. I mean, like over 40 or 50 of them in the last few months. And these are, I think, probably some of them due to the jet stream dropping down microbursts into the atmosphere and just forcing planes down or causing them to stall and that kind of stuff. And I think we're going to see more of that as these tremendous weather machines hit the planet. Already droughts are hitting major crops around the planet. As the temperature changes, we're seeing biological threats in the forms of insects and various fungi and diseases. I even saw it out here in our orchard here in the backyard. We have something called fire blight, and a number of things hit our apples and trees and made the fruit small, and we had trouble keeping the worms and stuff out this year, even though we sprayed. So things like this are happening across the planet, not just to trees and to grain crops, but to even the fish that we depend upon a lot with the oil spill. Now that, we can argue whether man had made that happen or not, but the oil spill is there, and there are other leaks that have been detected in the Gulf of Mexico and the floor there. Whether they are a result of the drilling or other activity, I don't know, but that is hitting our infrastructure, and it's spreading out of the Gulf. So when you put all these things together, our basic food chain is being thrown upside down. Food prices are rising now, and they will continue to rise as grain crops get scarcer and scarcer. And the United States has historically bailed countries out by loaning them grain for balance of trade deficits and that kind of stuff. But when we don't have it ourselves, we can't loan it. And with this administration doing everything it can to sink us economically, we can't even loan money to the countries to buy grain. When the Haiti earthquake hit, we had to borrow the money from China to give aid to Haiti, which is crazy.
It's crazy that China is willing to participate in this deal. It in so many ways, it seems like an illogical, very bad deal for them, where the U.S. just gets to keep spending money and China buys our debt. And I know that they're balking at it, but they're still doing it to some extent.
Yes, I think probably what the Chinese are doing, they are the master chess players of the planet, in my opinion. The Genghis Khan taught them to make your enemies fight each other until they're so weak they can't resist, then you move in and take them over. And I think China is the sleeping giant that is waking but holding back, waiting for the United States, Russia, Middle East, Arab, Muslim, Christian, all this hodgepodge of philosophies to collide, have war, and bringing each other down terribly, and then the Chinese plan to step into the Middle East, control the energy of the planet, and thereby be the world rulers. So they're being patient. I think that the debt they've got on us, as collateral, they've probably got mortgages, they've probably got maybe gold reserves. In fact, I'd like to know how much gold they actually got left in Fort Knox. I know that people are trying to find that out now. I hope they pursue that. But that's why the Chinese are being patient, because they want to absolutely contribute to the demise of the United States entirely so that they can just walk in and pick up the pieces.
Very interesting. With the recent news about Ron Paul wanting to audit Fort Knox, I think that's his new thing. He tried to do it with the Fed last year. That didn't go anywhere. I didn't think it would, unfortunately.
That was the article I was referring to, Ron Paul, yeah.
Right, yeah. And we'll see if he gets anywhere with this one. I sure hope he does, because this is just a fiat money Ponzi scheme. It is incredible, and it works as long as the people in the economy and the foreign countries are willing to participate in this game. But as you said, maybe China just has a very long-term view of things, and maybe that's just part of their long-term chess game. You could very well be right about that. That's an interesting outlook.
If you look at the United States here, I mean, what's being done to us, the 3 G's, they're taking away God, they're taking away gold, and they're taking away our guns. We're in trouble.
And so what specifically do you think these things will lead to? I mean, Obama's trying to do it with the ammo. Now they want to say that lead ammunition is the problem. And he's not doing it with the guns directly. He's doing it with the ammunition. So what will all this lead to, do you think, ultimately? I mean, how will it play out?
Okay. In the United States, we are so armed to the teeth here as a population that they know that they can't just come around and knock on the door and collect or repossess your weapons and your ammunition without a horrific backlash from the public. We, you know, this is our are right. We've had it since the Constitution and before that, to keep and bear arms to protect ourselves against tyranny as well as against burglars and, you know, and the enemies of the state. Now, having said that, what I see happening is this administration, the Obama administration, forcing us into civil disobedience by starting to try to limit our ownership of weapons and or ammunition, doing it through United Nations treaties, which have already been signed by the president, and making us subservient to the United Nations so that they can bring troops in to collect the guns and that kind of stuff here. And they can't bring enough troops in to stop all of us at the grassroots who would resist this. What they can do is bring troops in, whether it be ours, and I doubt there'd be ours because our boys wouldn't participate in that either. They're overseas, out of the game, so they can't get back home in time to help. United Nations troops come in, and this would force us here in the, you know, the dad's army, the resistance, whatever you want to call us, who are patriots. This would force us then into confrontation, armed confrontation, with these United Nations soldiers. At that time, the administration can then declare martial law because of civil disobedience, put all kinds of laws into effect, and virtually have limitless power as far as the individual here is concerned. This won't go down well, and we'll see the country fragment. Members of the military we have here at home, I'm sure, will split apart, some being with the Patriots and some following the government. I think the majority of them will follow the Patriot movement. So there will be pockets of resistance and fighting all through the United States, and we will just collapse from within. Economically, the whole country will just be destroyed when this happens. And while we're fighting amongst ourselves, which is the ultimate goal of these global strategists, the New World Order will establish. There will be Chinese and Russian troops probably come in, or at least armaments, weapons, nuclear, come in and destroy the United States completely. Perhaps EMP pulse bombs, one or two of them would be enough, to absolutely kill all communication so that we don't know what's happening between states and cities and, you know, groups, and can't get news, internet's dead. I think this will just absolutely bring us down. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It just says, I think we're part of Babylon, the economic control of the world at this point as nations, and we're going to come down in 1 hour, it says, if we are Babylon. But the Hopis, Holly and I have been invited down there two or three times to the Hopi Nation and to the Shungopavi tribe, and their elders have told us that they expect in the immediate future civil war, terrible civil war between all sorts of factions in the United States, bringing it down, and it will be susceptible to foreign invasion, which will occur, and the United States will fall. And that out of that will come small groups of survivors that will, many of them will merge with the Hopi and the Navajo to form a new race of man up in the Four Corners into Colorado. So they're saying it from their secular, or from their own type of prophecy, which is not from the Bible, but you know, I feel it myself, and a number of us who have studied Hebrew-Christian prophecy, that we are going to see the United States fall. It has to fall. It has turned away from God, and the administration is certainly helping that daily. So I think that's what we'll see.
I have long said that during my lifetime, I thought I would see states secede from the Union. But you're talking about a real takeover of the country by the global elite, huh?
Well, I think they're going to destroy America, because if you look at Americans as a block, they are individuals. They've grown up with individual freedoms. That's their right, which, you know, we formed when we formed the United States and added two states to it. But when you take that away, when you take all of the luxuries that we've had and all the freedoms that we've had, we will kick back. I mean, it's just, you know, they haven't kicked us hard enough yet. They're doing everything they can to irritate the man in the street, to force him to become violent. As soon as we do, you know, I don't like it, but I know we'll be enforced to it. As soon as we do, they will have the excuse to bring all sorts of force to bear. But they're not going to use America. They're going to destroy America. They're going to take us out because we'd be a constant pain to them. We would form underground resistance and all kinds of. They want to kill us. They don't want the country. They want to kill it. And they're going to shift the balance of power into Europe, back into Europe where it used to be, and a little bit in the Middle East. And this is, and of course, China's sitting back waiting for the whole lot. But this is where the globalists are going. They know they can't deal with us because we're just too stiff-necked. And once we got mad, we'd get organized and make trouble for them. So they're going to kill us off, kill us electronically, kill us physically, pollute probably the major 120 cities so we can't live in them. I mean, we're just going down. And I don't like it. But everything I see and read points to that.
Okay, so a couple questions here, because some people listening may not, they may write this off as, oh, another conspiracy theory, just what I need to hear, right? I find that people are too dismissive and labeling of conspiracy theories the way they are. They want to label anybody who criticizes our president a racist or a right-wing wacko, and the way they've vilified the Tea Party movement, et cetera, et cetera. And what people better realize is that when you do that kind of stuff, you are shutting down dialogue. And when you shut down dialogue, you are really asking for trouble, ultimately, in my opinion. But here's a question for you. Who are these global elite? Are they the Bilderberg Group? Are they the Skull and Bone Society? I mean, who are they?
Well, first of all,
is it the Rothschilds? I mean, you know, I don't know.
They're in it. The Rothschilds are in it. The Rockefellers, the Skull and Bones, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome. You know, in my book, the cosmic conspiracy thing we were talking about earlier, I have a whole section there dealing with who these people are. And, you know, there are nine major factors. The Royal Institute for International Affairs, and the Bilderberg Group is separate from that, the United Nations. The Great White Brotherhood is involved, certain parts of upper Freemasonry, 32nd degree and above. There are a number of people involved, and in the United States here, the revolution or the civil disobedience I was talking about, the civil warfare, is going to come between not just people against the White House or the government. It's going to come against white supremacists, against black supremacists, against Latinos, against illegal immigrants, against the rich and the poor. These things are all tearing at the fabric of American culture at the moment, and they will just explode. And before anyone calls me a racist, let me tell you this. I am definitely not. My second mother was a colored woman. Well, you know, she's a Negro woman. I love her to pieces down in Dallas. And when I went to the Air Force Academy, the reason I left early is I resigned my tenure there with about 150 other cadets who were all members of the Cadet Honor Code because they had kicked out one of my friends and several of theirs. My friend was a black cadet who was a good friend, and they kicked him out on a trumped-up charge, regular Air Force did, saying he violated the Honor Code because he had thought about doing something bad but never did it. And we protested mightily in 1964, 63, in 63, early 64, and the Air Force covered it up.
Unbelievable.
Never got to hear it, but believe me, I'm not a racist.
Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the people on the left are especially guilty of this type of behavior, of squelching discussion by making those spurious claims. They're ridiculous on their face. I mean, they're just ridiculous. But the other one that they do as a way to write things off is they say, oh, that's just a crazy conspiracy theory. Those are never true. Who shot JFK, et cetera, type thing. Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
There's a business concept that's creating a mini revolution all across the country and giving thousands of people the ability to create their own wealth system right from their living rooms. Learn all about it and find out how to get started in the Complete Guide to Finding, Evaluating, and Purchasing Self-Storage Facilities Home Study System, available online from jasonhartman.com.
So that's why I wanted to ask you, who is behind this? I mean, how organized are they? And if you think about it, what really are they going to get? They're going to corner a whole bunch of wealth and all this stuff, but the problem is they're going to squelch so much progress and innovation. I mean, one of the reasons the U.S. has for so long been this center of innovation is because everybody thinks in such an individualistic fashion. You don't get that kind of innovation in Asia. You get a lot of great copying and great production and that type of stuff, but the actual original idea usually comes from very free countries like the late, great United States. I almost want to say, because it's a lot less free today than it used to be, but free-thinking people are innovators, and that's where progress comes from.
Look, I'm an inventor, and I filed one patent a couple years back on an energy collection device from the atmosphere, and it was an application, right? And I filed it properly, and they refused it, saying, oh, this can't work, without, you know, testing or calling for a working model or anything. When they refuse an application, it's technically supposed to go into a dead file in a box there in Washington and be buried. All of a sudden, my application itself is all over the Internet. They released it somehow. Not that it really matters, because what I put into the application wasn't all the secrets, but you can't even apply for a patent without giving yourself away to the world, you know, much less China or Asia, who would steal it if they could in a second.
Well, that's why some companies don't file patents. They intentionally don't patent something because they don't want to let the information out there. If you patent it, you got to let it out, right?
Oh, right. And the only other way to protect it, as you said, is for a corporation or an individual to enforce security on their premises or, you know, with their formula or with their device themselves, so that it's not stolen or copied or whatever. But even that today is darn near impossible with the eavesdropping techniques and industrial espionage techniques that are available. One thing here, Jason, that I want to address on this who's in charge of the planet business, we have, if you look at it globally, we have a problem in that there are countries, some dictatorial, others technically democracies or republics like we are, that have control of huge nuclear devices, you know, weapons. And we cannot afford another global war with this kind of weaponry. It will destroy the whole planet. So the Illuminists, these people who are looking ahead generations and have been for some time, are saying, look, we have been trying to form a global government to overcome various religious differences between the Western Judeo-Christians and the Islamic, and then just the secular Chinese and whatever. We've been trying to overcome all these ideologies and form one planetary government and economy and everything long enough for people to see that they can get along together and work. And that's they don't see themselves as bad guys, these Illuminists. They see themselves as the only people in a position to, with their power and money, to hope to unify the planet into a planet of people of Earth rather than of various nations or religions. Now, to that end, they have thought, well, we'll have to sacrifice this country or that country, and there have been World War One, and then there's World War Two, and World War Three will come. And to them, this is the last thing, and it will be settled in the Middle East, and there will be a new world order come out of that. Now, they have already hired and sequestered inventive talent in their underground bases and various other places. I was one of them and left the order in the early 70s. But they come and recruit you, and they tell you in a little room somewhere what's going on, and you know, fly you off to another place and to join their technological development. We have technology, or they do now, in the back room that is so advanced that we have what people call free energy, but they're still going to control it. Anti-gravity, water production technologies, growing technologies, transports, all kinds of stuff that would make this a much better world if it were a unified planet. And we didn't have this country, that country stealing patent rights or, you know, running up balance of trade deficits. And I ask people quite often, you know, the United States has a several trillion dollar debt to somebody out there, right? And if you look at every other country, all the other 197 or however many there are, 200 and something, you look at them and they have national debt as well. And I ask you this, I say to them, who do they all owe the money to? There's no one out there that doesn't owe. And so they all owe money to something and some group. And this is the Illuminists, the banking consortium. Now, one overarching control of all these groups is not of this earth as we know it. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I did this in my book because I translate the old Hebrew and Chaldean Aramaic from the book of Daniel. And I've made a discovery that is absolutely making the hair on the back of people's neck stand out, because it says that as we approach the end of this age, going toward this global, quote-unquote, government, it's going to be a dictatorship. It will be led by a man who is backed by an agreement with an alien posing as a god. And when I say alien, I'm talking about the Bible speaks of Lucifer or Satan, the fallen one, and his people. These beings are here, and they were working inside the underground bases that the group that I worked for were running up until the late 70s, when the tables were turned and these, well, they're not exactly human. They're taller than we are, look mostly human, but they're very bright, and they were here before mankind was put in the Garden of Eden complex. They're an old collection of beings, and they came from a parallel concentric universe, according to the ancient Hebrew. The good Lord has moved me in January this year to tell people urgently, when the quote-unquote alien arrival is officially announced and the leader of it endorses some guy to be the world government, or the world leader, know that that is an imposter, quote-unquote god, this alien leader that backs the human leader. He's going to give him technology you wouldn't believe to control the people of Earth, and they're going to divide the entire planet up into 10 regions, all run by governors from the central headquarters where the world leader, the despot, the dictator of our time, will rule from. And some of these regions are going to be totally occupied or controlled, rather, by these alien beings. They will be given those regions and the people who dwell there as theirs because of the agreement that the world leader will make with them. Now, this is all in the book of Daniel, and it can all be taken out of eight verses, Daniel 2:41 through 44, and Daniel 11:36 through 39. When I retranslate, I put it in the book, I put it syllable by syllable as I translate, explaining where from the Chaldean Aramaic, where from the Sumerian, or where from the Hebrew I got the translation of that verse, to show how it's talking about an alien posing as a god, bringing his troops here to form a world government that he controls from the background. And that's where the Illuminists are under his control. There's no human Illuminist conspiracy group that is still in control of the planet. They are doing what this being, who is already here, is telling them to do. It's just a matter of making it public. And so I had to get this book out and the information out to tell people, look, don't believe it when it comes, because as Matthew 24, 23 through 27, I think it is, says, if a guy comes, an alien or a super being, saying he's God, and you have to meet him in a secret chamber somewhere, or he's in the desert, but you can't see him everywhere, then that's a fake one, because the real God will come as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. Everybody will know instantly. They will see it, and it won't be some being hiding away, but the book of Daniel says he will hide away. He will have a secret place. And so that's why it's important to get this message out now.
I'd like to maybe have you address the issue of Islam, because I think that is critically important to this whole discussion, in that you've got the largest religion on earth. I think it's 1.6 billion people now. And when you talk about this sort of global elite that wants to take everything over and so forth, they're not really centered in that. I mean, wouldn't there be all sorts of religious conflict among the elite themselves?
Oh, of course. But it's like this when you were kids, and let's say you had a brother and you had to share a room. When you fought, you were always afraid that Dad would come in with the belt. And fear of punishment you could not avoid makes good partners, or, kind of good bedfellows, if you wish, of your brothers. Now, this is what's going to keep the Islamic factions and the Christian factions within the Illuminati. This is what's going to keep them from not cooperating with world leader, because of the fear. He rules by force, and with nuclear and even greater weapons, he can do that, which the fallen ones will give to him. I call them fallen ones because they're fallen from a parallel or concentric universe, as the writings say. But this is, look, the Crusades in the, 1300s through the 1500s, I forget what time period it was, there were something like 12 or 13 Crusades by the Roman Catholic Christian knights going over into the Islamic territories and trying to possess Jerusalem and lands and whatever, because the Pope told them it's a good thing. These Crusades did not stop. Everybody thought the 13th was the last one, and once the Saladin the Great had defeated them there, that it was over. But it's not. When I was meeting with some of the senior members of my control group that were Illuminists down in Australia, they were talking about losing to them. And the Judeo-Christian part or concept of the Illuminists was burn up all of the Arab oil, because that's the only thing they've got that's giving them power now. Burn it up, consume it, have a war over there, set the oil fields on fire, burn it so they have nothing. We have, on the western side, they said, we have free energy technology, little boxes we can draw electricity out of atoms, out of the air. Well, you know, we've got limitless free electricity, but we're not going to release it until we have defeated the Islamic faction.
You're just talking about nuclear power when you say that?
Oh, no. This is thermionic energy exchange. This is down at an atomic level where they can unwind atoms peacefully without fission or fusion. You can take anything in the infrared band, anything above absolute zero will give you electricity using what's called a triboluminescent interface. Believe me, Jason, we've got powers, you know, behind the scenes that they're not releasing, and the reason is they are wanting to completely economically destroy the power of the Islamic nations. And the Islamic nations found out about this, probably 20, 25 years ago, and started rebelling and started investing money into Western nation corporations and various things to try to get their money out of oil and into other activities that would still give them an economic foothold. It's the Crusade still being fought. When I finally realized this in the meeting, my jaw dropped. This is it. In fact, it was more the Roman Catholic kind of secular Christian movements within the Illuminists they were doing this, not the Jewish side, because they didn't like Israel or the Jews either. They wanted to get rid of Israel and the Arab nations. So since my dad was Jewish, this put me in a very precarious position, which is why I eventually, you know, got out of the organization very quickly. But this is their plan. It has not stopped.
Really amazing, really scary stuff. We'll be back in just a minute.
Here's your chance to catch up on all of those Creating Wealth shows that you've missed. There's a 3-book set with shows 1 through 60, all digital download. You save $94 by buying this 3-book set. Go ahead and get these advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
What can people do about this, Stan? The question is, certainly knowledge is good, but what can they do about it?
Well, okay. In a worldly sense, you better start stocking, you know, food and emergency provisions, any medicines you need, and some home defense right now. It's almost too late now, but you need to get out whatever you can. If you've got, you know, money you're putting in the 401ks or various other things, you better pull some of that out and be sure you've got enough food for 6 to 12 months to give you time to figure out how to interface with what's left, you know, from when they destroy America. Good investment to buy food ahead of time that you normally eat, because it is going up and it's not going to get cheaper. So you save money by doing that. It's an investment in consumables. You need water around your house, that kind of stuff. Now, Holly's book is on our website, too, the Dare to Prepare book, and it is a self-selling book. We're order takers here. People are buying it by the caseload. You know, I just assigned an order here for 3 more cases going up to Montana.
What's the book called?
The Dare to Prepare.
Dare to Prepare.
How to prepare various things. 67 chapters of solid gold, 624 pages, like a big telephone book. It's so big. And it tells you what you need to do from a worldly sense to prepare as best you can. And no one can be 100% prepared for every eventuality, but at least it gives you breathing room to see what you're going to do. Now, that tells you, and Holly has another little thing. It's a book on a CD-ROM for computers. You can read it or print it on your computer. It's called Prudent Places USA, and it goes down to a county level, sometimes a city level, all across the United States, saying what is good and bad about each area, from weather perspectives, from toxic waste materials, from religious preferences, political preferences, economic structures. I mean, it's just.
I would love to have you or her on the show again to discuss just that book. That is something that a lot of our listeners have asked for, the Prudent Places concept, and it's hard to think of every little factor, but she's really done that. That's a great idea.
I think she was about 12 years old, she started writing that book. You know, her mother was into prep over in Kansas, and you know, it just taught her, and she, you know, after she got out of college, she kind of went at it hammer and tongs, and has a collection from all sorts of places, and the latest edition of it, we did this year, it's the third edition of 2010, and the cover tells it all. It's got, like, poker chips on it, and playing cards with, you know, earthquakes, and pandemics, and volcanoes, and floods, and all this kind of stuff, hurricanes, and then it shows the clock, the time is running out, you know, one of these little sand clocks, and the poker chips you're playing with are shelter, skills, food, water, pets, energy, radios, defense. You see, it's all there on the poker table, and you're gambling. And you see the hands were dealt. They aren't pretty hands at all. And this is why it's being used by so many first responder schools. It's being used in neighborhood and family groups. That's why they're buying by the case lot, because obviously it's cheaper, but they have a consensus of mind, and neighbors are doing it and forming little cells and to defend each other and to help each other provide this and that. Holly's got another book on there, too, that is a new thing. It's you have to print it out again. It's a Garden Gold, how to actually, as a city dweller, how to grow crops in little 4-foot by 4-foot areas and even in apartment roof areas and stuff. It shows you how to do that and tells you what the pros and cons are now before you actually have to have it. So she's thought of everything I can think of to help people from a worldly sense. But let me say this. When all that fails, our best defense is being in the good books with our Creator, the true Creator, and relying on Him to fill in the blanks where we can't. Do all you can yourself. Don't sit back and wait for it to happen. Do all you can yourself, but then in the final analysis, resort to keeping in touch with the good Lord every day and guiding you to what you got to do.
Yeah, very good advice. Well, thank you so much, Stan, for joining us on the show today. And give out your website, if you would.
The website is standeo.com. That's STANDEYO.com. If you go there, Holly updates it every day with news and current events that are important to you and with things that will help you. There's a lot of free stuff on that website that you can download, food planners, all kinds of stuff. Just it's there to help you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Stan. And let's get you or Holly on the show to talk about the prudent places. That's a great topic. We'd love to hear more about that one.
All right, Jason, we'll do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep. There's a show for just about anything, only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.